Well, good morning and good afternoon, everyone. I'm Elliot Callan, president of Prosperity Financial Group, and I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Meet the Expert. Very exciting today. We have a board-certified plastic surgeon. We're going to talk about some topics that are a little bit uncomfortable out there, but you know something, behind closed doors, people are talking about this. So I'd like to welcome Dr. Elliot Levy. Welcome.
Elliot, thank you very much. It's nice to be able to be interviewed by someone of the same first name.
There you go. You have too many T's in your name, though.
That's correct.
So I want to tell you something about before I get going with Dr. Levy. And would you be okay if I called you Elliot?
Sure.
Okay. So he is a board certified plastic surgeon, cosmetic surgeon, plastic surgeon. He's a Stanford Medical School graduate. He's got all the credentials. You can see on the wall behind him every credential you want in the world of plastic surgery and other things. But more important than that, I have a number of friends and clients that have used his services, used him as their physician, their cosmetic surgeon, and they have become raving fans of Dr. Levy, just raving fans. So forget all those certifications. When you've got raving fans running all around Northern California, I think that says it all.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so let's have a little bit of fun for a moment, and let's talk about, you know, what you do in the world of looks, because everybody is so vain out there. You're a man, you're a woman. We look in the mirror. I'd like to see a 21-year-old looking back. I'd like to see a guy with one chin. I'd like to see a guy with nice biceps and a small waist and a nice V. I know my wife would like to see all the parts in her original positions like she was 21. Original, and you know what I'm talking about there and all the body parts. So how do we deal with this? And as we age, what pushes us to someone who's in the cosmetic surgery world? And then and same line, how do you find somebody that's going to treat you the right way?
Those are good questions. I think that any cosmetic surgery should be done so that we feel better about ourselves. If you're doing it to please somebody else or for a social or occupational benefit, those results are less likely to be predictable. But if you know what it is that you would like to have improved or changed or restored to the way it used to be, then those are oftentimes things that can be done with cosmetic surgery. The goal is to improve the quality of our lives. As we age, or even when we're in our youth, there are areas that we're sensitive about that we just feel like we would like to look at with a greater degree of satisfaction.
So I know you've been doing this for a long time, decades, and successfully, so that's great. Have you found from a mental state of mind that having breast augmentation one direction or the other for a woman or for a man, have you found that fixing the chin and fixing the eyes has done wonders to fix the ego?
I think oftentimes it does. As you're alluding to, I've done this for 38 years, and I love doing it. I love being able to provide folks in my community with the opportunity to have a better quality life and to be happier. That's really what it's about. Unlike many areas of medicine where we're trying to restore health with cosmetic surgery, we're oftentimes trying to make the quality of life better than it's ever been, which is very gratifying. It's nice to have patients who are new, who are young, and it's also nice to have patients who I've had for many decades, and we go through different life changes and different areas are addressed as our reality changes.
Well, along that line, I was going to ask a question later, but I'll ask this now. By the way, and we're talking with Dr. Elliot Levy in Danville, California, and we'll get you his information here at the end of it, end of the show. But along those lines, how many patients have you noticed that they don't just get one thing done? They end up getting more than one thing fixed. I get my chin fixed and now I want my nose or my eyes. I get my stomach done and now I want my chin done. How often does that happen?
Most people nowadays are very sophisticated. Cosmetic surgery in a modern form has been present probably for 40 years or so. And people are well informed. Oftentimes they talk to friends who've had procedures done. So most come in, they want to have a limited number of things changed. They have a certain time frame, maybe a certain budget to work within. And my goal is to provide them with options that will help them achieve those goals and to allow them to find something that will provide the best value for them.
Okay. And then I kind of on a humorous note here, my entire staff, you know, we're I am forever on a diet here, Elliot. I've reached that age at 60 plus that my body fat has become like paste. It's no longer liquid glue. It's now paste. I feel like I've got turtle wax, solid turtle wax attached to me. So do I need a tummy tuck, a liposuction, or is there just some of these new fasting diets that's going to hit the do the trick for me?
Well, certainly it's nice to be close to an optimal weight. We oftentimes feel better. Our health in general is improved. On the other hand, as we age, as you're alluding to, our metabolism changes, maybe our ability to exercise change, and our reality physically also changes as far as our fat distribution and the amount of fat that we have. There are areas that the fat can be accessed under the skin and above the muscle layer that at least are available to liposuction, tummy tuck, various removal procedures. On the other hand, if the fat is, for example, in the tummy, if it's underneath the muscle layer around our digestive tract, it's not safe to go down there. And then the only option is a diet. These can easily be evaluated, and then you can get an idea of how much improvement you can get from surgery or from diet or other procedures.
So when I think about facelifts for a moment, and to me, it's all a little bit humorous as we do a little bit of tongue-in-cheek here at the same time. But I think about facelifts when I was young, and the joke was Joan Rivers talked about it all the time. I think Phyllis Diller said that she had seven of them or some silly number. And they had jokes associated with that, both very similar jokes in a stand-up comedy routine. I saw Mary Tyler Moore that just had an awful one done, and she was embarrassed to go outside. For some people, this seems like a lifetime goal of more surgery on your face in particular and what people are going to look at. What's enough surgery and what's too much surgery?
Well, I think a good example is President Biden. As all of us know, he's 78 years old. And during the last year, his job was to convince the American public that he represented their ideals as far as the substance of what our communal goals are, and also that he could get the job done. I'm sure that he's had a facelift and eyelid surgery. I think he got a great result. He gives the impression of being likable, vigorous, and capable, far greater than most 78 years old, and he's a leader of the free world. I think that if it's done well, it can improve our own self-image, and it also can help us as far as our job and social interactions. As a result of contributing to that, I think he's the leader of he's now the free world. And I think that the cosmetic surgery helped him out. If he had run for senator in Delaware again, it probably wouldn't have mattered very much. People are not looking at him and getting to know him and getting to trust him as an initial evaluation. But most of our interactions are with people that we meet for the first time, and the initial impression is very, very important.
So when we're recovering from different surgeries, tummy tucks, facelifts, whatever, what is the recovery like? Am I going to be embarrassed to go outside?
Certainly, women who have facial surgery can put makeup on. Most men, most of us are not very skilled in applying makeup. And if we do wear makeup, people will think there's something strange about that. So as a result of that, for facial surgery, women can oftentimes get back to their usual activities more quickly than men. Nowadays, with many of our interactions being working at a distance, you don't have to necessarily let people see what your face looks like. And I think it's important whenever designing an operation or a series of operations to consider, when do you need to get back to your work obligations? When do you need to get back to your social obligations? Maybe do less operations or less extensive operations, or time them at intervals that will allow a successful recovery.
Okay, and how affordable is cosmetic surgery?
For most of us, cosmetic surgery is a life enhancement experience. I would say that it's probably in the range for most procedures of going away to Napa for a weekend or going on a two-week vacation in Hawaii. It's not something within everybody's budget, and it should be understood as such. It is a life enhancement procedure. It's not something that is necessary, such as having your appendix taken out or for wearing glasses.
Well, you're in Danville, California, and I have heard that Danville, California is the capital of cosmetic surgery in Northern California, second only to Beverly Hills in California. Is there truth to that rumor?
I would say that many of my patients now come from quite a far distance. And with social media, a physician's reputation spreads much further than it did in the past. Wherever we are, we seem to feel that we're the epicenter. I can't really say that. I think it's a very popular life enhancement option throughout many parts of the world.
So what are the most popular, Elliot, what are the most popular surgeries for men, and what are the most popular surgeries for women?
For men, eyelid surgery is very popular. Gynecomastia surgery, if there's breast enlargement, I think it's just a feminine trait, and it makes a lot of men uncomfortable. Liposuctioning of the love handles is very popular. To some extent, face and neck lifts are certainly very popular also, in addition to nasal surgeries. For women, a lot of times there are changes associated with pregnancy, so that tummy tucks to deal with extra skin and fat as a result of the pregnancies, changing in the position of size or shape of breasts are important. Facelifts, eyelids, and that nasal surgery for women to address areas that are easily visible.
So my staff was talking to me this morning about one of their favorite TV shows, which I have to admit I have not seen, called Botched.
Yeah.
And I have not seen this, but they were talking about women's breasts today, different sizes and shapes, and one was higher, one was lower after cosmetic surgery. The nose was wrong for somebody else. There was a woman there that her goal was to have an H cup and look like a Barbie doll. So what happens? What goes wrong with these? That there are some people that just look like they've had surgery. They don't look natural. I would think looking natural and younger is the goal, but they don't look natural or younger. They just kind of look silly.
Certainly shows on cosmetic surgery are designed to be entertaining. So they need to find cases that are unusual and noteworthy, if you will. Most of my patients want to look natural, just to look more rested, more approachable, more attractive. And their goal, their idea of being attractive is within a general norm of physical proportions. There are others, not many, who see their body in a different way. I think that if it can be done in a healthy fashion, if the person is in general happy with themselves, if they have hopefully social stable social relationships, I'm willing to consider deviations from the way most people look at some point in their life. But I think that has to be very carefully considered so that the person not only will be happy a few months after surgery, but maybe a few decades, hopefully a few decades also later.
Okay, and here's a little bit of a layup question. And that is, how does somebody find a trustworthy cosmetic surgeon that isn't just trying to sell them on surgery, but really has their best interest at heart?
A lot of patients interview two or three plastic surgeons before making a decision. In our area, fortunately, the plastic surgeons who are board certified are technically very proficient. I think that we sometimes differ in our philosophies, our aesthetic vision, our ability to hear patients, but the general level of skill is very high. I think anybody out here can successfully perform any of the dozen or so operations that we routinely do. I think it's important to find someone who you feel comfortable with, who provides a setting that you know that if you need to contact them for questions or for further treatment, they'll be available. Reputation, certainly from other patients, from other healthcare providers in the community, is the best way to find out. And nowadays, a lot of people go to the internet and look for recommendations. But I think you have to have a gut feeling that this is somebody who you trust and that you feel comfortable working with.
And one last question on the negative side is, what's the downside to cosmetic surgery, to somebody having cosmetic surgery? What's the downside?
These are real operations. And as a result of that, I do them in a surgery facility adjacent to a major hospital. I want to make sure that I have anesthesiologists, other physicians available, medical resources, if something happens. It's uncommon, but nevertheless, this really is surgery. And many procedures can be, if you do enough of them, something can go wrong. So I think that being in the right setting, looking at it as a medical surgical procedure is very important. This isn't simply a cosmetic technique that doesn't have potential medical health problems.
Well, we've been talking with Dr. Elliot Levy. This has been great. He's board certified everywhere you need him to be in the cosmetic industry. He's a graduate of Stanford Medical School. He's been in Danville, California for 30 years practicing. And more importantly, he's got an entire army of raving fans that just love his work. So, Elliot, how do the people reach you? What's the best way to do this?
The phone call is best, 925-820-3633.
820-3633, area code 925. So this has been great. Go ahead if you're interested in getting a free consultation from him. I know that he'll do a great job for you. So, Elliot, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. It's been enjoyable talking with you.
Have a great day, everyone.